Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this panel. I feel very privileged to be so invited. Some of you have known me for quite a while, and I really just started working for the Houston Health Department in a year ago. So before that, I worked for MD Anderson Cancer Center and was privileged to work with Dr. Lovell Jones for several years on collecting health data in the Asian community. So anyway, I have no personal or financial relationships to disclose. And I wanted to acknowledge my co-authors on this, Dr. Deborah Banerjee's in the audience, Dr. Jones, Rashmi Dangardive, Shohini Dar, Dr. V.K. Durai, and Dr. Mala Pandey. Okay, like Arnab was saying earlier, who knew that there's so many Asian Americans in Texas? We have the third largest Asian American population in the United States. So we have a huge and rapidly growing Asian American community. This data was from Census 2010, and already we feel like a lot of it is outdated. We're in the in-between stage, and we're going to get ready to have the next time that we collect the census. But at that time, we found that the largest Asian American group was Vietnamese, and then Asian Indian, then Chinese, Filipino, Pakistani, and so forth. But as some of you are familiar, when I was at MD Anderson, I had the privilege of doing something called the ASANA survey, the Asian American Health Needs Assessment, which focused on just the Chinese and Vietnamese. It was very important to us at that time that we collected disaggregated data as well. And we were very pleased because of that we were able to get data. As you know, the Asian American Health Coalition went forward and applied to become a federally qualified health center. So other communities said to me, Beverly, you did it for them, why don't you do it for us, you know? And so the South Asian community did approach me, and we had wanted to do a survey in all four of the largest South Asian groups in Houston, Asian Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, and Sri Lankan. But funding issues didn't allow us to do that. Anyway, we wound up doing South Asian Health Needs Assessment Survey. We called it that still, but really, as you can see by the subtitle, it was Key Health and Cancer Indicators for the Greater Houston Asian Indian Community. And this survey, the data was collected in 2013 and 2014. Okay. Now, you know, the current literature on Asian Indian health shows that among Asian Indians in the U.S., they have disproportionately higher rates of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and the use of non-traditional tobacco products. Specifically, you hear people talk about betel nut or betel leaf, hookah, beedies, pan masala, and I was complimenting Arnav earlier that actually I used some of his data from the California Tobacco Study in developing our methodologies and what questions to ask. We also see in the literature that there tends to be more frequent use of complementary and alternative medicine, or CAM, especially Ayurveda and herbal therapies. So we actually had a two-phase study. In the first stage, which was qualitative, we wanted to identify and characterize health perspectives among Asian Indians in the Greater Houston area to tailor our health survey for this population. We were making some comments earlier just in some informal conversations that Asian Indians or Asians, wherever they are in the U.S., tend to be a little bit different because it depends upon their immigration status, why they came to that area of the country. So it's important, I think, that we collect local data as well as seeing data as a whole for the U.S. So we did four focus groups of Asian Indians, about 8 to 10 people, and as you can see, they were made up of non-U.S. born women older than 55, non-U.S. born men older than 55, non-U.S. born men and women, so a combined group of less than 55, and then U.S. born men and women age 18 to 55. So we finally got that U.S. born group, and that actually, as you probably would expect, was the hardest group to recruit. There's not a whole lot of U.S. born Asian Indians. And then we did key informant interviews to supplement and validate what we found in the focus groups. So what we found, and this is just some selected results of our qualitative phase, is that the top health problems reported in the Asian Indian community were diabetes, cancer, and hypertension. And it was kind of interesting how they varied just slightly, like the younger thought maybe one was more than the other, but those were the three health conditions that rose to the top. We also asked about what does good health mean to you? And it was interesting that for them, healthy people are self-dependent. So you're independent, you don't need anything. Healthy people use less health care. and unhealthy people are unhappy. So that's some of the little quotes that we got from our group. And then cultural perspectives on health that were unique to Indian culture, that was part of the focus group questions. They said a fat person is considered healthy. Now, the younger people also said this is a myth, but that's what they said. The heavier you are, you're considered more healthy. And if a person is lean, he is sickly. And eating more and becoming fat is healthy. And as a dietitian, I know one of the things is if you come from a food insecure background, being robust is a sign of health. So that plays into what we say in America, what is healthy and so forth. So anyway, just to move on, it took us about several months to develop our survey questionnaire, but the base of our questionnaire was something called the Texas Community Health Survey, which is a derivative of the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, BRFSS. But then we added onto it, we reviewed some questionnaires that we found in the literature that were used with Asian Indians, and that one was the South Asian General Health Survey, and then the Unmet Needs of Asian American Pacific Islander Cancer Survivors. We used some questions from those surveys with the permission of the authors. We made some modifications, and we did some pilot testing. The group that partnered with us on doing this at MD Anderson was the Indian American Cancer Network. And so they really wanted to have some of the cancer needs pointed out in this, identified in this survey. There were several modifications that were done. It was pilot tested with 20 individuals of varying ages and demographics and translated into Hindi by an individual who taught the Hindi language in the public school system. And we had all of the versions back translated as well to make sure that they were clear. These were the topics that were covered in the what we call the SANA survey instrument, South Asian Health Needs Assessment. So as you can see, we had the usual demographics. We also had occupational health risk, environmental exposures, and so forth. But what I wanted to kind of point out to you is we included some culturally specific questions based on our focus groups and our key informant interviews. Particularly, we included a question about if you were born in India, what province were you from? We thought that was going to play into this. We asked about their parents' country of birth as well. We asked about alternative therapy use, non-traditional tobacco use, cultural food preferences, and the practice of vegetarianism. So those were some specific additional questions or modifications that we used. To administer the survey, this just shows you a slide of some of the places that we went to. Interestingly, the Asian Indian community is very diverse as well. And so we went to Buddhist Hindu temples. We went to Sikh Gurdwaras. We went to Muslim mosque, and we went to Christian churches, and we went to all the festivals. I really learned about Janmashtami and Dashera and Diwali, and so I became an honorary Indian in the community. We have an area in Houston called the Mahatma Gandhi District too, and we went to that area to try to collect more. So this photo just shows you some of the places where we collected data. It was a convenient sample, but it was also a purposive sample. So we tried to go to places to get a diversity. Okay, I'll move on. The methodology, we had a biostatistician calculate the suggested sample size, 1,500 individuals, and we also were looking at four counties, Harris, Fort Bend, Galveston, and Brazoria counties. So this shows you what was the estimated sample and the oversample, and we actually collected over about 1,560 surveys, completed surveys. But some of the things that brought down our actual survey sample was let me just say this, the eligibility criteria, you had to be self-identified Asian Indian, 18 years of age or older, live in one of the four counties, and only one individual per household could participate. So we did ask for your address. And once we went through the surveys and found duplicate addresses, we eliminated the second one that was received. An informed consent statement was read, and the majority were face-to-face encounters, but some were returned by mail. So what were some of the challenges as we went forth with administering this survey? Like with everybody, limited funding. And actually, the Indian American Cancer Network was the organization that funded this study by partially funding my salary. We also needed cultural and linguistic competency. I mean, how do we go out to this community, and what do we say, and how do we approach people? We needed to identify recruitment events and venues and make the community aware of the project. And because we wanted this to be a scientifically rigorous study, how could we have people be trained in the protection of human subjects and observe HIPAA? So my solution, it worked out really well, was volunteers. We trained at least 20, 25 volunteers from the Indian American Cancer Network. And by that, then we had people who spoke English, Hindi, Gujarati, and the other languages. They knew where Indians congregated. They knew the media. They had the most effective and largest outreach. And MD Anderson provided the training. So I think this was a really good academic and community partnership to accomplish this project. Just as some of the things that happened, too, is the study was publicized in the Asian Indian newspapers, radio, and on the ABC TV affiliate in Houston. We collected surveys from August 25th to July 30th, and in over 33 locations, and I told you how many surveys were collected, and after excluding the duplicates, we had 1525 for analysis. So I want to give you just a few findings from the survey. It's a little bit hard to see, maybe, but we created that's the cover of the book, and this we presented our data, as Simona was saying, in infographics. So actually, interesting, the majority of our subjects were male, and this is kind of, usually it's female, but when a couple was approached about participating in the STEP survey, and we're told that only one could participate, they almost always handed off to the male. I don't know if it's English proficiency or gender roles. Arnav is saying, nah. But anyway, okay. So you can see kind of that it's 52% male. And the age breakdown of the males and the females. The mean age was 47, and the range was 18 to 87. The majority were married. 83% had a college degree. About 48% had over $100,000 in household income. And the majority were employed, and the major employers were like management, healthcare, computer science, architecture, engineering. Places of birth, 89% were born in India, 24% spoke English as the main language in the home, 70% were Hindu, and the Indian states of origin, as you can see, most likely were Andhra Pradesh, Gujarat, Maharashtra, and Kerala. Now, many South Asian participants felt quite positive about their health. This was kind of interesting. As you can see, about, what is that, 20, 40? That's, I can't think. I'm not Asian. I can't do math in my head. 90% of them, yeah, considered their health as excellent, very good, or good. Okay. And this is kind of, it's interesting that you said about Vietnamese. We found that in Houston, too. Vietnamese don't rate their health very well. Okay, anyway, perception versus reality. This is a very interesting slide to me as a dietitian, is that based on self-reported height and weight, we calculated their BMI. 52% of the men and 44% of the women had BMIs in the overweight obese range, and yet when we asked them in a subsequent question about do you consider overweight or obesity a problem, only 10% of the men and 12% of the women said that it was a problem. Although a good percentage of them, about 40, almost 50% of them were vegetarians, their average number of fruits and vegetables consumed per day were 2.5. So these are some concerns that as we go forward that we want to address these issues. Physical activity, about 38% of both males and females had no participation in moderate physical activity in the last week. As for healthcare, 88% had some form of health insurance, and 70% preferred to go to Western medicine as their first line of defense. We had really relatively few that used Ayurveda and herbal therapies. And then medical conditions, the highest rate of, 14% of the Asian Indians self-reported as having diabetes, and as you can see, compared to the other groups in Texas, white, black, Hispanic, and from my previous Chinese and Vietnamese data, they had the highest percentage of self-reported diabetes. Cholesterol, about 27%, high blood pressure, 23%, heart disease, 8%, and TB, there was no comparison. Okay, so these are the conclusions. This was a major undertaking in doing a survey in the Asian Indian community in Houston. Overall, the participants had a very favorable socioeconomic profile, a high rate of English proficiency, and positive perceptions of their health, which are factors often associated with higher health literacy and better health outcomes. But there was a significant group that had overweight, obesity, sedentary lifestyles, etc. And Asian Indians with low literacy, unfortunately, we found we were unable to get to participate in the survey very much. So what are our recommendations? We want to develop culturally relevant nutrition and physical activity programs. We want to continue to use groups like ICANN to provide educational forums for disseminating information about cancer and other chronic diseases, and facilitate their participation in screenings and do future studies on low-income Asian Indians who weren't able to participate in this survey. Just want to acknowledge my funders. Thank you very much.